Well, it all started about 700 years ago between a land they called England and a land they called France.
Today's special word is confabulation.
Local town terrorized by out-of-control typefaces.
Haven't you ever wondered what's beyond these four walls?
There's nothing outside of these four walls.
My mom's telling me a story about a princess who's
been alive. Deuteronomy, the most excellent
of
the Ophelis.
Dr. Arnold.
Look, kids, take it from me.
Well done, Teddy. You're a natural born announcer.
Madame, monsieur, bonjour et bienvenue à bord. La représentation qui va suivre concerne votre sécurité à bord. Merci de nous accorder votre attention. Au nom de toute la compagnie Air France, nous vous souhaitons un excellent vol. Thank you for your attention. On behalf of the whole Air France company, we wish you a very pleasant flight.
For they wanted to go to Finland, but they didn't know what to do. So they pulled themselves together, and they hired a British dude. So they went upon their journey, and could sail or not they flew. And maybe, just maybe, they'll get some ice cream too. And maybe, just maybe, they'll get some ice cream too.
Winner of 100-year-long conflict to be decided by chess match. The year is 1452. After a century of conflict, the board is finally set. England, France. Promoters are calling it the game of the century. The human chess match will begin Sunday at the Polo Grounds. The winner will succeed to the French throne. The loser will go back to England. Come early for a pancake breakfast with Joan of Arc and free chain mail for the kids. Don't miss it!
He's over 30, kind of nerdy. Hey, it's Mr. Wordy.
Okay, kids, now it's time for the word of the day. Today's special word is confabulation. Let's all say it together.
Confabulation.
Good. Now, does anybody know what confabulation is? Yes.
I think my dad had it, but my mom made him get rid
of it. No, not even close. Oh. Good try, though. Yes.
Is that when my mommy gets dressed up to go eat alone in her car?
How about I just tell you, okay? There are really two different meanings for the same word. It was a trick question. The first is what we're doing right now. We're having a conversation. It kind of sounds like confabulation, right? But the second meaning is a little trickier. Okay, everybody raise your hand if you know what a psychiatrist is. Oh, I'm sorry, Annie. You can put your hand down now. Annie? Hey, high five. Okay. yeah, a psychiatrist listens to people's problems. Yes.
My sister broke one of my toys. Should I talk to a psychiatrist?
No, Jenny. They don't help with those kinds of problems. They help people who are confused. And some confused people confabulate. A confabulation is a disturbance of memory, defined as the production of fabricated, distorted, or misinterpreted memories about oneself or the world, without the conscious intention to deceive.
Mr. Wordy.
Yes, Jimmy.
My uncle told me he was going to buy me a car. Is he confabulating?
No, Jimmy. Confabulation is when someone doesn't intend to deceive. He's just lying. Yes.
Mr. Wordy, my mommy told me a story about a princess who kissed a frog and became a prince. Is she confabulating?
No, Annie. Fairy tales are intentional lies intended to entertain. Confabulations are usually drawn from the patient's memory of actual experiences.
It was her college roommate.
Oh, then I'm afraid she's delusional. Has she had any brain trauma? Subarachnoid hemorrhage? Encephalitis?
She likes cats.
Might be the interaction between frontal lobe pathology and organic amnesia. Just try not to give her affirmative feedback, okay? Yes?
Mr. Wordy, yesterday we had a goldfish, but now he's gone. Did I confabulate him?
Depends. Was it simply a bizarre fabrication in an attempt to maintain your self-identity?
I forget.
Well, I think you'd better go to the nurse's office just to be safe, Freddy. Now, who would like to use our new word in a sentence?
Ooh.
Teddy.
You just won best pig at the county fair. Confabulations!
Teddy! Get out! Confabulation is no laughing matter, children. Just ask Mr. Schmooze.
Hello, kids. Take it from me. It's no fun to have the vitamin B every day to try to reverse my thiamine deficiency. I fabricate, distort, or misinterpret memories from subtle alterations to bizarre fabrications. Thank goodness for word lists, free recall tasks, and self-monitoring training. Hey, remember that time you picked me up from the airport when I came back from Mexico? Oops, there I go again.
Oh, Mr. Schmooze.
Wow, I couldn't even see your lips moving, Mr. Wordy.
The advantage of doing ventriloquism on radio, Jimmy. Now, we're all going to use our imaginations to create a group confabulation. Doesn't that sound fun? We're all going to visit a wonderful man who lives in a flying balloon. His name is Dr. Gearhart. Can you say that?
Dr. Gearhart!
Good! Now we can all say we remember someone who doesn't exist. And thanks to your underdeveloped encoding and critical reasoning skills, you probably won't even be able to tell this new fake memory from your real ones. Isn't this fun? Yes, Jenny.
Mr. Wordy, my semantic memory feels weird.
Uh-oh. You might have an anticholinergic toxidrome. Better see the nurse just to be safe.
Mr. Wordy, does Dr. Gearhart confabulate?
No, Annie. He is a confabulation. Now let's all be very quiet, boys and girls, and listen to my friend, Orson Welles.
Animal Shift!
Look to the skies, but you will see nothing. All the same, he is there, hiding in plain sight aboard his great airship, the Radiopteryx. Concealed in an artificially produced cloud of steam and vapor, it is a ship kept aloft by dreams and powered by the bellows of imagination. Within the biomechanical workings of this great vessel, you will find its beating heart. Dr. R.D. Gearhart, designer, inventor, and creator of the Clockwork Cardiac Theater. There, high above the planet's surface, he presides as curator over a vast collection of terrible and largely forgotten films. But on this particular day, he is acting as host to a visitor from a distant time and place. As we look in on this interview, the two men have entered into a momentous dialogue.
Dr. Gearhart? Is that you?
None other. Welcome aboard the airship Radiopteryx. I bid you greetings. You are my guest. Enter freely and of your own will.
Is there a catch?
No. I've just always wanted to use that line. It's from Stoker, you know. Dracula. The goosebumps are complimentary.
Okay. It's nice to finally meet you, sir.
My name is Dr. R.D. Gearhart.
Nice to meet you, R.D. My name's Edison.
No, my initials, R&D.
What do your initials stand for? Research and development?
A feeble attempt at wit. With a moniker like Edison, I would have expected something more inventive. I can only hope that the conversation grows more engaging and less contrived as the evening wears on. But the night is young, much like yourself.
I'm terribly sorry, Miss...
Dr. Gearhart will suffice. I will be your host for this evening's festivities.
I have to say, that's an interesting outfit you're wearing. The eye patch and leather helmet suit you. The oversized belt and mechanical arm may be a bit much, though. It's kind of a neo-Victorian, quasi-mechanical, oil-infused leather kind of look. What do you call it?
Geek chic. A term of my own invention. I find that one's costume can serve as an extension of the self, expressing the individual within. Though the unfortunate effect is that I have the pungent aroma of an oily tannery.
You reek of taste, Doctor.
Your double entendres are more understood than appreciated, Junior. One's accoutrements reveal a great deal about the person wearing them, as your dirty tennis shoes and crumpled anime t-shirt events. The biomechanics are, sadly, a necessity due to an unfortunate physical defect.
Should I go?
No, it's simply a jest. It's a fake arm at best. Next time I'll go with the gauntlets, and perhaps a bit more leather. At any rate, come. Dinner has been laid out for us by my attendants. Please allow me to introduce Mr. Bojangles and Baby Cedric.
Mommy, kiss me goodbye.
Good grief. You have a clown and a self-propelled baby doll as servants?
They are devoted. The clown in particular is an excellent cook. Now follow. A sumptuous feast awaits. I hope you found the roast chicken agreeable.
Oh, yes. And these green wafer things are delicious. What are they?
The Soylent Green? It's people. Another jest, sir. I do apologize. They're simply spritzed with green food coloring.
Phew. You got me there. Say, where did you get green food coloring in here?
The dye is an extract. From the urine of the pufferfish.
What?
Apologies, my friend. You are simply too easy.
What's that dish there? The one your clown just brought.
Ah, the red herring.
It smells fishy.
Just so. It's only there to throw people off. But perhaps you would care for a free-range orange? The juice is sweeter because they are never caged.
No, thank you. Could I just get some water?
Of course. Cedric? Cedric, no biting.
Ugh, sheesh. Anything I should know about the water?
It's just condensed cloud vapor, as pure and clean as you could want. Come, let us adjourn to the theater. I think you will find it more conducive to conversation.
Uncle Brian, tell me a story.
Okay.
Well, let's see. How about the time you and your sister got into a fight over the marshmallow pieces in a box of generic Lucky Charms?
No, too boring.
Okay. Well, let's see. How about a story about a real war?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's see here. There's the Six Day War back in 1960.
Too short.
Okay. Well, there's the 10-Day Civil War in Yugoslavia.
Longer.
Okay. There's the 30 Days War between Greece.
Longer.
How about the 100 Days War?
Longer.
4 Years War?
Longer.
7 Years War?
Longer.
9 Years War?
Longer.
10 Years War?
Longer.
11 Years? Longer. 13 Years?
Longer.
15 Years?
Longer.
30 Years?
Longer.
40 Years?
Longer.
60 Years? Longer. 80 Years? 100 Years?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh. All right, then. Well, it all started about 700 years ago between a land they called England and a land they called France.
Get to the sword fighting.
Do you want to tell the story? All right, then. Philip VI was declared king of France, but there were some people in England who didn't agree with how that decision was made.
Let's see here. I, Philip VI, hereby declare Edward III an unauthorized claimant to the throne of France. Jean de Lame, does that sound good to you?
Excuse me? The name is Jean. How long have we been married? How dare you call me that?
No, really. Your name is Jean de Lame. Look in this encyclopedia.
Jean de Lame?
Yep, right there. Queen Jean de Lame. Everybody!
Jean de Lame, oh, Lame, oh, Lame, oh.
Stupid encyclopedia.
Meanwhile, in England...
How could they put that smelly Frenchman on the throne? Just because he has a direct male line as a cousin? Bah! I say me as a nephew is closer than that. If only my mother had been a guy, this could have all been avoided.
Now let's not be rash, Edward.
Those smelly French. Bah!
I am French too, you know, and you married me. I don't think I smell that bad.
I know. I'll invade. I must deliver a message right away. Get me the Bishop of Lincoln.
Coming. Coming. Let me just... Is that your hand? Remove that at once. Well, your mother was a horse. Coming. Ah, gum. Okay, let me just...
Yes? Bishop, I'm going to invade France. Give Philip VI the ripple of war.
Very good, sir. Just give me a... hold on. Get... I don't have all the time... Move, madam!
Why does he walk like that?
All bishops move diagonally, dear.
Ah.
Meanwhile, in France...
I am just so insulted.
No, it isn't that bad. Lame can be a compliment in some countries. No, really.
Whoa, just... Why does it smell like sewer? A message from England, sir.
What was that?
He rippled at you.
I don't get it.
The ripple of war, you fool.
Don't call me a fool.
You called me lame. Now you know how it feels.
Sorry, it's just... Very well, tell Edward I accept.
Very good, sir. Wait, just give me a... Okay.
Why is he walking like that?
He is a bishop. They always move diagonally.
Ah.
And so, after receiving the ripple of war, Philip VI in France and Edward III are destined to meet in battle. Edward III makes his approach to... France.
Edward the Black Prince, my son. Why did you bring us here? We need to invade France.
But father, this is France.
An 8x8 grid?
Yeah, probably should have brought a better map. Say, why do you refer to me as a Black Prince? Everything I'm wearing is blue.
Well, that's just what the encyclopedia calls you, see?
But I like blue. Stupid book. I'm going to write the publisher a very angry... Wait, here come the French.
At last, Philip VI, my ancient foe, we meet at last.
Oh, yes. I wore my shiniest suit of armor for this. And allow me to introduce my wife, who, Jean? Jean, stop being lame. We're here.
How dare you?
Save it for the enemy. All right. Now, everybody line up on the board. No. No. Hans, go in front. You're in my spot, horse.
Ha ha. Look at them. Wait, Castle, turn around. The battle is that way. Stop crying. Just because you're a pawn doesn't mean you can't be dignified.
Hey, Philip!
What is it?
Your Eiffel Tower is showing.
Oh dear, wait a minute. That hasn't even been built yet.
Gotcha. First block to me.
Oh yeah? Advance the pawn.
How much, sir?
What?
Should I advance him cash or write him a check?
I meant move him, you fool.
Oh no, you don't. Advance the opposing pawn.
And so both the English and the French pawns advanced and collided at the center of the chessboard.
Move, you nitwit.
I say, you are the one who should be yielding to me.
I was here first, you toad.
Newt.
Poodle poof.
Snail breath.
What are you wearing, English fog?
Hunchback of Notre Dame.
The pawns are deadlocked. That move didn't work as I hoped.
Well, if you don't mind my saying, I can see exactly what your problem is here, sir. You're forgetting a very basic strategic principle here.
Who are you?
I was only the captain of my high school chess team for all 4 years.
I don't care. How dare you question me?
Well, it's obvious you don't know how chess works. You moved your pawn right across from your opponent, but pawns can only attack diagonally. Face-to-face pawns can only insult each other. You really wasted that move.
Very well. For my next move, Black Prince takes Chestnut.
Edward! Come on, you!
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Mommy!
English mouton?
French frog?
These insults are lame. Much like yourself, Jean.
I'm going to check my mate if he does not shut up. I'll take care of it.
Philippa, dear, our pawn is reflecting badly on us. Deal with him.
Fine. Queen takes pawn. Over her knee.
Oh no, here comes my mom.
You are in such trouble, young man. Where did you learn to talk like that?
It was his fault. He made me do it.
I don't want to hear another word. You are grounded for a week, young man.
Go to your room!
Yes. Oui, mama.
Send in the...
I'm right here.
Sorry. Send in the bishop.
The bishop isn't here.
What? Why not?
Converted.
Oi.
Send forth the rook.
The what?
The rook, the castle, the tower.
She wanted it built on the corner, so there it is staying, hon.
Who have we got left? Knights? Any knights?
Just me, sir.
Where's your mount?
I'm afraid of horses. I have this broom.
Fine. Go subduing.
Right away, sir.
I have you now, silly pawn.
Really? You don't even have a real horse.
Oh? Don't insult my horse. He is very temperamental.
Huh. What do you intend to do? Stick me in the eye with a piece of straw? Sweep me to death? Huh. Give me a splinter. Huh. What are you going to do? Huh? Huh? Get your nosy out of my face. Huh. You have beautiful eyes.
Oh.
Ha!
Ha! Ha!
Ha!
What?
Oh. I warned you. French horses are very dangerous.
Philippa, you must go and subdue the knight forthwith.
Ew. I hardly know him.
Incredible. The knight maneuver worked. Advance the pawn to the final spot.
I have made it, Mara. Top of the world.
Oh, no. Now what?
Bet you had wished you'd listened to the chestnut now.
Shut up! Wait, what's happening?
The pawn will now upgrade.
Egad! It's Joan of Arc, and she's got a rolled-up newspaper.
She doesn't look happy at all.
Good heavens. She's advancing. Run!
And so, that's how the Hundred Years' War was won. Or something. like that.
Uncle Brian, your stories just don't have the ring of truth.
Oh, come on. What about the Battle of Thermopylae Deal?
Stop.
Gallipoli Gunup?
Nope.
The Battle of Sandwich? On actual bread?
Check, please.
The Battle of Moscowfish?
Good night, Uncle Brian.
One of the most unusual details to come out of the American Civil War was something that happened at the Battle of Bull Run, or First Manassas, as the Confederates called it. Curious civilians eager to see the battle made a special trip to the front to watch what they thought would be a quick Union victory. Some brought field glasses, some brought chairs, and some packed picnics. They arrived in elegant carriages, on horseback, and on foot. Many even brought their families. It was one of the most surreal moments at the start of a war that would be full of surreal moments. And it may have gone something like this.
July 21st, 1861. At a river about 25 miles west-southwest of Washington, D.C., known as Bull Run, two rivals are about to face off in an epic confrontation that will propel them into history.
Hello, and welcome to Manassas, Virginia, where we are expecting a big turnout today for the season opener between the Union and the Confederacy. It's beautiful weather for the battle, and will you look at the size of this crowd?
Well, when it comes to rivalries, there really is none bigger than these two teams. What do you think, Ted? Is the North ready?
Well, as you know, the Army of Northern Virginia has spent most of the winter in training in Palm Springs. This year, there are a lot of alums returning and several new faces, including Teddy Runyon from New Jersey, Kirby Smith, who was a first-round draft pick out of Florida, and of course Samuel P. Heintzelman, who really is just one of the top-ranked infantrymen in the last few years. So a lot is expected from this army today. Tell me, Dick, do you think the Federals will stick to their usual plan of attack going into this battle today?
I think we can expect a standard three-column offense, two making a diversionary attack on the Confederate line at Bull Run, while the third column moves around the Confederates' right flank, cutting the railroad to Richmond. Of course, how the Confederacy responds to that remains to be seen.
And here comes the Union, wearing their away jerseys. A lot of jeers and curses as the Confederate fans try to drown out the cheers of the Union fans, who, of course, are waving their towels. And now the South are out of their seats as the Confederates take the field. Their fans screaming like furies as players from both teams spread out and begin to limber up.
New legs here! Saltfish! Hardtack! Fresh coffee!
Wait a minute, what's this? It looks as though a fight has broken out in the stands. Possibly over states' rights, possibly over the meaning of freedom in America. It's hard to be sure. And now here comes security. And those responsible for the disturbance being ejected. That sort of violent behavior simply won't be tolerated here.
Now things are quieting down and the stadium grows quiet for the national anthem. But since there isn't one yet, we're just going to get right to the battle.
And now all 36,000 men take their positions, bayonets gleaming in the sun. And there's the whistle. The Union has possession. McDowell sends Hunter and Heintzelman southwest to Sudley Springs while Tyler's division marches toward the Stone Bridge. But there's a logistical problem. Tyler's division is blocking the main flanking column on the turnpike. Now Richardson's brigade firing a few artillery rounds across Mitchell's Ford. but the Confederacy responds in force. The South is fighting back. Beauregard ordering Ewell to hold at Union Mills Ford, but something's wrong. Jones' brigade appears to be advancing alone.
Looks like there's been some miscommunication. What is going on down there?
Now Colonel Evans and his reduced Confederate brigade are all that stand in the path of the 20,000 Union soldiers converging on the Confederate left flank. Wait a minute, what's this? Edward Alexander using, what is that? Wigwag semaphore signaling from a nearby hill.
That's certainly a first in combat.
Now Evans again, hastily leading 900 of his men to Matthews Hill. And a Confederate delaying action, but no good. It's thrown back. And play is halted. Looks like Robbie Wheat is seriously wounded. The field surgeons are carting him off the field. Let's hope he's okay. And play resumes. Evans, receiving reinforcements from two other brigades. But Burnside, Sykes, and Sherman blitz him, and the Confederate line collapses.
The South needs to figure something out quick.
The Confederates retreating to Henry House Hill. And that's it. That's the end of the first quarter.
And the Army of Northern Virginia off to a terrible start. Some of the fans have seen enough and are already packing up and leaving.
And so at the end of the first quarter, it already looks as though the Rebs have been whipped. We still have three quarters to go, so we'll have to wait and see how this all turns out.
The Union giving a strong show in the first part of this battle, but there's more to come. Don't go away.
Hurry up, honey. You're gonna be late for work.
Can't make it. You go on without me.
You probably just need some coffee. Here, try this. It'll make you mighty.
Work is my adversary. I will face him.
Don't forget your keys.
Not needed. Sleep weak. Coffee strong.
Mornings got you down? Show the morning who's boss with the coffee that makes you feel feminine by comparison. Epic Coffee's secret patented formula keeps you mighty.
Epic Coffee.
Our beans aren't ground, but split, releasing the unimaginable power of the bean. Your brain will get to work an hour before you do, leaving a trail of fear and devastation behind.
Epic Coffee!
Like an unstoppable locomotive powering its way through your intestines. This coffee will assert its dominance, grab you by the gastric lapels, and slap you around.
Drink in a submissive posture for safety. Do not make direct eye contact with beverage.
With flavor so aggressively violent, you'll need a mouth guard to drink it.
Epic coffee.
Strong enough for
Spartan,
but made for man.
Epic coffee!
Maybe I better try some. Wow, that's some really
powerful coffee!
Epic Coffee is not responsible for damage to lung, self-harm, or personal injury.
Sleep weak, coffee strong!
Epic Coffee! Put some shake-up in your wake-up, making mice into men since 2010. Try a cup today.
Epic Coffee!
We dare you! Epic Coffee!